Let me put the nail in this coffin real tight. God hates a coward. God hates a coward. 21 and 8 says, but the cowardly and the unbelievers, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. God wrote that. I did. Who leads the list of that ragtag mob? The cowardly.
Listen, when it comes to this calendar, I understand people are struggling with it. I understand there's a lot of moving parts to this calendar, a lot of things that you have to take into account, and you actually have to look at the moon phases. That means you actually have to either go outside or download an app for the moon and look at it and pick which moon you want to use, especially when it comes to the new moon, because sometimes this new moon doesn't appear until late, or it appears at 11 o'clock, or it appears at 2:23 p.m. And you have to calculate based on what Enoch has given us about this calendar, about this moon phases, about the moon phases, that we can order as best as we can the calendar. I think it's lazy. I think it's really lazy to rely on the Essenes calendar, the Dead Sea Scrolls calendar. I think it's really lazy. It's very comfortable because this matches America's seasons. And I'm going to die on this hill. I am. I'm going to die on the fact that the biblical lands in Africa, and I got to keep repeating it because people want to argue with me about it every single time I post something about this calendar. And it's not necessarily about me saying what I'm saying. It's literally about their comfortability about following a calendar that appeases their schedule. This walk isn't supposed to be make you comfortable. It's supposed to pull you out of this world and into the biblical lands. It's supposed to pull you back to your heritage. It's supposed to pull you back into a time of iniquity to focus on the Most High. The Most High has said, go back to the ancient times, ancient days. Go back there because this is where your footsteps were right. But it says you will have none of it. You said you were going to walk in your own ways and walk in the ways of these other nations. It's really a decision you have to make. It's an option that you've given. The Most High, I said before, is not going to come out of the clouds and turn your head and say, hey, you need to walk this way. You need to make that decision. I don't see why this is so hard. If you have a dedication to seeking him 10 times more after you have found him, if you have a zeal that multiple men in scripture have shown that they have had zeal for the Most High and have been blessed through this zeal, then what's stopping you from doing it? And then the Most High is not asking you to kill nobody. He's not asking you to unalive anybody. He's not asking you to go to war physically. He's not asking you to go pick up a sword and just go at your enemies. He's not even asking you to do any of these things. But this is what those prophets, priests, and men in scripture had to do to perform a zeal for the Most High. I get really sick of people complaining, bitching and whining and crying about, this is not how we're supposed to do it, or this is not what the way. I'm not forcing my way on anybody. No one's telling you have to do this. I'm showing you a very basic math problem. And I'm showing you all the variables to this math problem so you can solve it yourself. If I'm going to use the algebraic language, I'm helping you solve X. X is when these feast days are happening. X is when the new moons are happening. Now you have to do the due diligence. You have to do your own homework. Don't expect me to come on and tell you, hey, today is this. Hey, today is that. It's your job. It ain't mine. And I want you to figure it out so you won't, in the end, you won't come back to me bitching and whining to me, oh, it's not the way. I want you to see it. I stopped using other people's calendars because I wasn't asking the Most High for the information. I was asking man. So I told the Most High, I wanted to prove him, and by saying, you show me the way I should go. I'm not listening to nobody else. You show me. If you want me to observe these holidays, these feast days, the best I can of my abilities, you show me what date and what month I'm supposed to be on. You show me this. Otherwise, I'm not doing it because I'm not being confused. I'm not, you know, getting halfway through and getting disappointed because it's not the way and have to throw up my hands. I'm not going through that. So you lead me. And this is where he's been pulling me to. There's a reason why he wanted me to see the YouTube channel Truth Unveiled 777. There was a reason for that. Because it was interesting in me trying to figure out that how is that the land of milk and honey, that little strip of land, how is that possible? Why would he give the Hamites all this land? And then give the people that he said he loves above all nations that little tiny bit of land? In the desert, how is this milk and honey? Then I asked myself, what was all of South Africa doing during the time of iniquity? During the time of the prophets, the priests, Yahushua, where was South Africa in all this? Who was inhabiting that area? It's never talked about. Even when you go to church, they never talk about what's going on below Egypt, as if nothing ever existed. Like, it was just a barren land full of animals that no one ever went to. That's when he showed me Truth Unveiled 777. And then after that, that kickstarted my map search, my map quest. That's when I started searching more and started putting two to two together. And then it confirmed me when I started looking at other pages that talked about where the real biblical lands are and said how the Gentiles, the map makers and all those, they changed the names over time. If Satan deceived the world, how do you don't think he deceived also the people who come from the real biblical lands and people who don't know where the real biblical lands are? You think they're searching? You think they're going to David Rumsey's map collection or any old map collection sites and digging up old maps and looking at where the real biblical cities are? You think they got the discernment and the Ruach HaKodesh to do that? They don't. They rely on what the world says. As is stated in Baruch, that these people are going to go into a stupor, a state of confusion. You think they're worried about the Most High's feast days? In my opinion, I think the door is closing on who's getting awakened. I think a lot of people are going to be in their F around and finding out awakening phase after things get taken away from them. For instance, a guy, the Taylor family, was on TV yesterday. Because, of course, every time some destruction or devastation or desolation happens, it's got to be about a black neighborhood, black people suffering, a historical black neighborhood in Altoona vanished. And this one black couple living in a black neighborhood that's historical because black people were allowed to live there amongst whites during the Jim Crow era. This is what makes it special for black people. This black couple, this black family lost their house. And the first picture they show is his whole entire family in matching pajamas during Christmas. Then they interview him. The first thing out of his mouth, oh, it's God's plan. Well, he has no idea who the Most High is. He has no idea of his plans. But I guarantee you, they're not going to search the feast days. You think he's going to stumble upon his heritage through this desolation? Through judgment. He's probably worrying about, oh, how I'm going to have Christmas in this hotel. Oh, I'm on TV. They like my struggle. How I'm going to do Easter. I'm going to do the holidays with my family in a hotel now. I mean, I hope for his sake that he stumbles upon the truth. But why have to lose your house in the process to know the truth? I wonder, did the Most High and his angels show him the way out, like Lot? Did someone pray for this brother? Before the fire happened, did someone pray and say, hey, evacuate. I got something better for you. I'm gonna awaken you in your process of devastation and desolation. I'm gonna look out for you. Is this the case? I don't know. But what I do know is that when they show a picture of you happy and smiling and matching pajamas with your family in front of a Christmas tree, that seems to me more like judgment. That seems to me more like reprobates. Getting what reprobates get when they continue to be knee-deep or, these days, neck-deep in idolatry, paganism, and false religions. But then again, people want to get into this F around and found out doctrine to see if the Most High is really real. To see if judgment is really real. So back to these feast days. Today is the Feast of Shavuot. If you are following along with the seasons of Africa, which is really hard to do because you have to really look at it from the months. We ain't like we can get a plane, fly over there, like, oh, this feels like winter. Oh, this feels like spring. Let me go from here. I just used whatever the basic form of their season starting. And that's where I asked the Most High, all right, what month is this then over there? And I used the moons here. Obviously, I can't use the moons over there because they're almost a day ahead of time. I would drive myself crazy trying to match the new moon phases in South Africa and then try to live them out in America. But I'm trying to show a zeal, a willingness to demonstrate to the Most High that I care about his feast days, that I care about the land that he cares about. Yahusha, because people don't think I talk about Yahusha enough. Yahusha has said, you should love the Father with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. That is the first great commandment. If I'm supposed to love the Son, that means I also have to love the Father, because the Son said, I need to love the Father with all my might, with all my soul, and with all my heart. So in doing so, I'm trying to show a zeal for the Most High that I'm ready to be taken out of this godforsaken land and planted in the land of my forefathers, and trying to stay as close as possible to these feast days and when they happen. Now, Shavuot is the Feast of Harvest, or they call it the Feast of Weeks, but it's much more than that. When people say, oh, it's the Feast of Weeks, you think in your head, oh, I got to count 7 weeks or 7 Shabbats, and it's just a regular feast. It's much deeper than that. Deuteronomy 16:10-11, and you shall keep the Feast of Shavuot unto Yahuwah Elohaka with a tribute of a free will offering of your hand, which you shall give unto Yahuwah Elohaka according as Yahuwah Elohaka has blessed you. Now, if you remember in a couple of podcasts before this one, I talked about I was freezing mangoes in order to show the Most High that I'm prepared to offer the first fruits of my yard. So I tried to freeze the mangoes in the refrigerator. I took them out the other day. They done went soggy and wet. It's not the same firmness as when they fell off the tree. So now I'm contemplating if I should discard the mangoes altogether, or should I offer them to the Most High. I think I'm probably going to just throw them away now or just eat them. Because I don't want to disrespect the Most High and his free will and his offerings and his ascending smoke offerings. We all know the story of Cain, of what he offered the Most High, and the Most High rejected it. This is what you think about when you truly are in one with the Father and the Son. This is what you think about when you truly want to show appreciation and love for the Heavenly Father. This is the kind of discomfort that comes with following this way. You stop thinking about yourself. You stop thinking about your calendar in this country. You stop thinking about the seasons in this country. You stop thinking about work. You stop thinking about relationships. You stop thinking about worldly affairs. Your heart, your countenance is troubled because you're trying to find out how can you serve a man you have never seen in your life. That you owe your entire life to. So I went out yesterday, or last night, and bought a leg of lamb, like a $50 leg of lamb, because it says, according as Yahuwah Elohaka has blessed you, and he has blessed me abundantly. So I got an abundant ascending smoke offering. And you shall rejoice before Yahuwah Elohaka, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you. The stranger that's among us, which is you, Gentiles, who are outside of the nation of Yasharel. You are included too. If you told a Christian this right now, they would say, nah, those laws, those feast days are done away with. But the stranger is talking to you. You are the stranger. You are strange to us. When we got here, you were in our native lands. So you are strange to us. Just like when we were in captivity in Mitzrayim, Egypt, they were strangers to us because they don't know any of our ways. And the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which Yahuwah Elohaka has chosen to place his name there. Did he choose to place his name in America? Did he choose to place his name in Washington, D.C.? Did he choose to place his name in Florida? Did he choose to place his name in New York? Did he choose to place his name in California? Did he choose to place his name in Las Vegas, Nevada? Did he choose to place his name in Texas? No. Where did he place his name? Do you think he placed his name among these old ancient ruins of Fort Antonia, where the Edomites had their fort below Tyre, where in Ezekiel the Most High has given a prophecy of Satan and his description to Ezekiel, who said he was the king of Tyre, which is below where you think Israel is? Did he place his name there to be below Satan's kingdom? Geographically? Or did he have his own land amongst his own mountains, amongst his own glory from the beginning of this world, before man? Where did he place his name? That should be the answer to the mathematical equation. That should help you solve X. Where did he place his name? When Solomon prayed to the Most High, he said, if your people turn from their wicked ways, this is mentioned in Kings. If your people turn from their wicked ways and seek your face again and pray towards your land. Did he say pray towards whatever land you were carried away captive? Did he say pray towards America? Did he say pray towards Russia? Did he say pray towards Europe? No, he said pray towards your land. Even when Daniel, when he was taken in captivity amongst Yehuda, and Nebuchadnezzar came down with a decree that you cannot worship any other god but me. And if you want to worship your god, you have to give me a petition. You got to tell me when you want to do it. And I tell you when you can worship your god. When Daniel learned of this decree, he went to the window of where he was living, turned to Yerushalayim. He didn't turn to Babylon, which is in East Africa. He didn't turn to the ancient Babylonian cities of Shinar. He didn't turn to Ashur or Assyria, which is in Northwest Africa. No, he turned to the biblical lands to pray to the Most High. Till this day, I still pray facing Yerushalayim. I pray facing Namibia. I go to my closet to pray. I take out my phone. I go to Google Maps. I use the compass arrow. I turn my body towards the biblical lands. And that's when I pray. And that's how I pray. I've been praying that way ever since I found out where the real biblical lands are. That's how important where he placed his name is to scripture, to prophets, to priests, his son, everybody associated with the Ruach HaKodesh. Jubilee 6, let's go back. Jubilee 6, 17 and 18. For this reason, it is ordained and written on the heavenly tablets that they should celebrate the Feast of Shavuot in this month once a year to renew the covenant every year. This is the time of Noah, when Noah rested on top of the mountain, or the ark rested on top of the mountain, and he came out of the ark. He wanted to sacrifice animals, put it on the altar for a feast to Yahuwah, thanking him for allowing him to dwell safely after the flood. And this whole feast was celebrated in heaven from the day of creation to the days of Noah. I'm going to say this again. And this whole feast was celebrated in heaven from the day of creation to the days of Noah. I have never read that they observed a feast of Thanksgiving in heaven. I have never read that they observed Christmas dinner in heaven. I have never read that they observed Easter dinners in heaven. I've only seen right now that they observe, or they celebrated this feast amongst the angels and Yahuwah and the luminaries, the seraphims, the cherubims, in heaven from the day of creation to the days of Noah. 26 jubilees and 5 weeks of years, and Noah and his sons observed it for 7 jubilees and 1 week of years till the day of Noah's death. And from the day of Noah's death, his sons did away with it until the days of Abraham, and they ate blood. Jubilee 6, 19 and 20. But Abraham observed it, and Yitzchak and Yaakov and his children observed it up to your days. And in your days, the children of Yisrael forgot it until ye celebrated it anew on this mountain. And do you command the children of Yisrael to observe this feast and all their generations for a commandment unto them, one day in the year in this month they shall celebrate the feast. It was the third month. Okay, so let's take a toll. Let's take an account. Let's look at these variables. Feast of Shavuot started since the day of creation. Creation, being the Most High's first fruits, because he planted the seed. He's given it light. He's given it water. He's given it daylight. He's given it nighttime. The world is the Most High's first fruits. So he celebrated this harvest festival in heaven. Noah, after the destruction of the old world, after the flood, things washed away. He and his family are the first fruits upon the world, the new world, after the deluge. Now we get to Abraham. And this is where the date comes into question, not into question, but it comes a little bit more detailed of when Shavuot is, since we are going by a different calendar than the calendar that they had at the time of Abraham and the prophets. Jubilee 16:13, and she bore a son in the third month, and in the middle of the month, at the time of which Yahuwah had spoken to Abraham on the feast of the first fruits of the harvest, Yitzchak, or Isaac, was born. So, what I just said before, let's add Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah having Isaac, their first son, him being a symbolism of first fruits of their marriage. This is how important Abraham was to the Most High. This is how important the covenant, his calendar, his way, his people is important. The Most High can make these things happen centuries, hundreds of years to 1,000 years ahead in advance and still place it on the same date. So Isaac being born on the Feast of Shavuot in the middle of the month. At that time, it was 364 days. Every month was 30 days in a month with the four divisions of the seasons added in. If you read Jubilees, those divisions are the first month, the fourth month, the seventh month, the 10th month. Those also are days of remembrance because it's the day, first month is, I think, I can't think of the top of my head, but it talks about the times when Noah entered the ark. It talks about the flood. It talks about when the waters went down, and then it talks when the waters finally went down into the abyss and everything was barren and clean. There was no flood anywhere. So the Most High used the ark and the waters rising and falling and used it as seasons and days of remembrance for Noah to be carried on throughout generations, which is why on new moons, we worship on the first, the fourth, the seventh, and the 10th new moon. That's why they are feast days for us. So Abraham and Sarah have an Isaac at the time where there's 30 days in a month. I can conclude that Feast of Shavuot is today. It's just the 15th. It's just coincidence that the new moon fell on the same exact time and day as the Gregorian calendar. Sometimes that happens. So don't go trying to add up the new moon from February 1st. Because remember, the days on the months are like 29, 30. That's how I've been seeing them. 29, 30. They've been alternating. That's how we get to 354. Enoch says you can't go too forward, you can't go too backwards. So using the right light that shined upon the moon as the new moon is important. Now, The light shined a little bit on the moon, a little bit before January 1st. I chose to use the January 1st new moon that showed later because the last month was 30. This month is going to be 29. The next month is going to be 30 days. So that's how I was keeping track. So I didn't want to put it out of order. The 14th to 15th, the moon is usually full. And the reason why I chose 15 is because all the other feast days, the most important ones, the three feast days out of the whole year that the Most High loves and has given us commandment to observe, have all been on 15th days. On the 15th, I mean. So if you take Pesach, of course, we're supposed to kill the lamb on the 14th, but the Feast of Matzah begins on the 15th. Shavuot begins on the 15th. Sukkot, which is in the seventh month, it begins on the 15th. Are you following me? So this backs up what I always thought. When I talked about David's blowing of the shofar on the dark new moon and then blowing the trumpet at the full moon on the day of the feast or the day of our feast day. Why would he say that? He's letting us know that one, you blow the trumpet, the silver trumpet or the shofar on the dark, on the new moon. Then you do it again at the full moon because if it's a feast day. And I just reminded myself I needed to do that today too. But it's a feast day. But why did he use full moon? And it says in multiple scriptures that the moon orders the feasts. Why? Because the full moon. Every full moon that's in these feast days is on the 14th or the 15th. And I'm pretty sure back in those times, the full moon was actually the 15th before time was sped up. So in doing this feast, you need to look up what is necessary, what is needed to observe. You can go to Numbers 28. 26 to 29. And in the day of Bikur, when ye bring a renewed free offering unto Yahuwah, in your Shavuot, ye shall have a holy assembly. Ye shall do no servile work, but ye shall offer the ascending smoke offering for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, and their oblation of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto one bullock, and 2/10 deals unto one ram, a several tenth deal unto one lamb throughout the seven lambs. Seven. The Most High loves this number seven. Everything is in order. Everything is in a mathematical equation for the Most High. Man has taken it and called it a gematria. He's called it numerology. He's called it angel numbers. And this is why I've been going into that. In searching in gematria, I end up searching the Most High in his numbers, learning his ways. People act like it don't matter. Like it's information and knowledge that's going to bring you back to the Most High. Anything you shred down to its most basic form, it's going to be found in the Most High. It's going to be found in Scripture. Anything you look at, anything you try to dwell upon as far as man's wisdom, everything, if you shred it down, it's going to lead you right back to Scripture. That's what seeking, searching, and finding does for you. If you truly love the Father, you truly love the Son. So that's why I bought a big old leg of lamb. I'm going to mingle it with flour. I'm going to mingle it with oil. And then I'm going to use, instead of buying wood this time, I'm going to use the palm trees behind me. So I cut down some palm trees. I'm going to lay out the palm tree saw it in half, saw it a couple of different ways, put it in my little fire pit that I made, my little makeshift fire pit that I made, my little altar, and then I must burn it to a crisp and hope that that's received as a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. I don't know if he's going to stick his nose down and smell it, but I know from scripture that this is what they did for a sweet savor. So obviously they must know that the Most High loves smelling these offerings, these ascending smoke offerings, these sacrifices. And people who don't want to do these sacrifices and offerings on new moons and feast days, they come out with this excuse. Oh, it's better to be obedient than to offer sacrifices. That has nothing to do with what we're doing here. This has everything to do with the Most High loves to smell ascending smoke offerings. Now, I'm not using the offerings and the free will offerings and the wave offerings or the heave offerings as a way to blind him from my sin. I'm not doing that. One, I'm not sinning. If I'm sinning, I would have to take care of that in the prayer closet before I even offer. Because I've had gone through a period when I was sinning and tried to offer at the hand, and he moved my eyes down some scripture and said, I will not accept an offering from you because my hands were filthy. So I'm pretty sure he'd be watching what I'm doing and knows what I do and knows when I confess my sins. And in quick ready with the judgment and say, all right, I'm not accepting this from you. Or he'd be like, oh, I'm going to accept this from you if you do it this way. This is all about seeking and searching and appeasing the Father. Some of y'all act like y'all never had fathers, that you never grew up and wanted him to love you more than your other siblings. Some of you, I mean, obviously some of you don't have fathers. I feel for you. But this is a perfect time to learn how to love one. One that has watched over you, given you life, brought you into the fold, showed you his truth. You should be more zealous than the men who do have fathers. This is like almost like clockwork to some of us. We grew up idolizing our father. I would listen to no other man except my father. At my detriment, I didn't respect any man that wasn't my father. When I played, my father was my coach most of the time. So when I went to another coach, I rarely ever listened to him. Because I was like, I measured him up and the other coaches that I had in my life to my father. My father was the only one at that time that I feared. So I grew up being conditioned to respect a father figure. So that's why it's easy for me to get into this information, to show you the math problem, to show you my zeal, to show you how I have love for the Most High, because it's natural. It comes natural to me. My father was just a stepping stone for the Heavenly Father. And sometimes I get stingy with the Most High, just like I was stingy when I grew up with my father. I didn't want my brother around me when I was having quality time with my father. I don't know why I was like that. But I never wanted my brother. I never wanted my siblings around. Because at a time, you know, 2 years before that my brother and sister were born, I had my father all to myself. I was a pride and joy. I was the firstborn of my parents. So I would get upset. My father would be like, yeah, you guys want to come to the store? And I'd be like, yeah. My brother's like, yeah. And I'm like, I ain't going then. That's how I was. I was stingy with my father. I wanted him all to myself. And now I'm like that with y'all. I don't want him to pay attention to nobody else but me. But that's the type of love you have to have. That's the type of zeal you have to have. That's the type of excitement for the Most High. That you want to please him so badly that you want to see his face and your pleasing of him. You want to feel that touch. You want to feel that wind blow when you pray outside, when you offer your offering. You want to feel that gentle breeze that flows through your hair or flows through your skin or flows over top of you that makes you feel that you are doing it the right way, that you are pleasing him. Because sometimes you don't know. You don't know if this is what he likes. You don't know if he even disgusted with what you do. But every day is a day to show loyalty and obedience to the man that has given you life, blessings, a new walk, a new way of life. So you do what you have to do as best you can do it. Even Solomon, with all his wives and all his concubines, Solomon still made time to offer to the Most High. 2 Chronicles 12-13. Then Shelomah offered ascending smoke offerings unto Yahuwah on the altar of Yahuwah, which he had built before the porch. Even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moshe on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the feast of Matzah and in the feast of Shavuot and in the feast of Sukkot. Solomon, the king, the wisest man that has ever walked this earth, was still offering to the Most High. Every feast day, almost every Shabbat, almost every new moon, that is what he was doing because it was commanded to him by Moshe. And who commanded Moshe? Yahuwah. So that blows out the whole, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just say you don't want to do it and you're too lazy to do it. And you don't have to have a house with a fire pit in the backyard. If you're in an apartment, there's ways you could do it. Take some wood or whatever or what have you. And go to if there's a cookout area or a picnic area that you can go to, they let you rent or bring grills, do that there. All you're doing is just burning it to a crisp. You're not eating it. You're burning it to a crisp. That's if you want to do it. Being in this country too long has warped people's brains into doing things just for comfort and doing it because it's easy. Doing it because it's convenient. And that's the problem. You cannot be in this walk and look for convenience and look for comfort doing it your way when you want to do it and how you want to do it. The whole point of us awakening in the land of our captivity and the land of our enemies is so we can be so pissed off of not being able to worship the Father right that we reject this country, we reject this world. That's the point. The reason why this world is being tore up from the floor to the head of this world is because it is wickedness, it's paganism, it's idolatry, it's unrighteousness. And the way you separate yourself and understand that this world is full of tares is then when you become wheat. Which is funny. We will, again, be like the first fruits. Because we're likened to wheat. And when the time of the harvest has come, when it's time to get the first fruits, he will gather us up and put us in the barn. After he done took the tares up and burned them in fire. Because the tares are going first. The tares are going to be hit with the sickle first. They're going to be burned. And then the wheat are be gathered into the barn. As an ascending smoke offering. As a first fruits. As gold that is tried in the fire. Refined. Refined as silver is refined. Tried as gold is tried. There's multiple scripture that talks about gold in the fire. We are an offering to the Most High. Just as Yahushua was an offering to walk in his ways, to walk in his statutes. He also walked, while he was on earth, walked in those feast days. Even Paul, that the Christians swear that Paul, an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, swear he a Christian, swear that he brought Christianity into the forefront. Even Paul, a Shemite, a Negro, damn near broke his neck to get back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot in Acts 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of the Feast of Shavuot. So while he was up there preaching in Europe, he had to get all the way back down to South Africa. He hasted. He sailed by just to get back to Jerusalem for a one-day feast. He could have said, you know what? I'm going to post up at Ephesus. I mean, I'm going to post up in Europe. I'm from Rome anyway. I might as well go to the crib. Let me go to Rome and just, I'll do the Feast of Shavuot there because it's convenient for me. It's comfortable for me. He didn't do that, did he? No, he wanted to show the zeal, the obedience, the love for Yah and Yahushua that he wanted to go into Jerusalem to participate in Feast of Shavuot. That's how important the land is to the prophets, to the apostles, to the disciples, to the Israelites. That's how important it is. First Corinthians, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which Elohim has prepared for them that love him. But Elohim has revealed them unto us by his Ruach, for the Ruach searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of Elohim. If you're not searching, if you're not seeking, if you're not doing this work with some type of zeal, why do it? Go back to Christianity, go back to Islam, go back to Catholicism, go back to convenience, go back to comfort, go back to being a coward. That should be plain and simple. Because if the Most High says that, I don't care for the lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because you are neither, I will spew you out of my mouth. It didn't say Yahushua would spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. He's only telling them, hey, you can't come into this door. I never knew you. So if the son don't recognize the lukewarm and the father's going to spew you out of his mouth, you got either one way to go. You can go back to your old life or you can go back into a new, you can go forward into a new life. Full of discomfort, full of inconveniences, full of heartache, full of trouble. But as prophecy states, this is the time that we're in. We're in a time of discomfort. But a crown of life, a crown of glory will be given to us if we what? Endure. This is said not only in Revelation, it's said in the books of Ezra and Baruch. You make that call. So today, again, the umpteenth time saying it, this is the Feast of Shavuot. If you want to follow it. If you don't, don't. You want to go back to the solar calendar and changing it to March to fit America's seasons? That's your business. That's That's where your journey stops. Fine. That's where your journey stops. But mine's going to keep going. Now, there was a comment on a couple of episodes that talked about that podcasters have the ability to now post videos along with their podcast. I tried to do it. I did one video that I posted on there. I don't know if you guys are going to see it. It's still Sight to the Blind. I think it's called Spotify for Creators. I don't know, but there's a video portion, and I uploaded the video. So hopefully if you find it, let me know if you found it and see it, you know, you've seen it. So I know it works. Otherwise, if you don't say nothing, I'm just not going to do it because it's confusing me why they would have two things and not just combine them into one. So you tell me if you've seen it or not. I'll see y'all Sunday.